Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is Luke chapter 1, our gospel lesson, which describes the Annunciation, Gabriel's message to Mary. And so it's a good time to talk about parenting. I mean, there's so many great things about parenting. One of the fun things about parenting is picking out your child's name. It's a fun discussion parents get to have, but it's not easy to pick the right one. I mean, you want it to be different, but not too different. You want it to be interesting, but not too interesting. And you want to pick one that describes their personality, who they are, but you haven't really gotten to know your child yet. But it makes for a fun discussion. In our gospel lesson today, in the Annunciation, it's the angel Gabriel announcing a message to a young virgin named Mary. And the message is basically, Mary, you are highly favored by the Lord. I have good news. You're going to have a baby, a son. He's going to be Mary's son, but he's going to be much, much more than Mary's son. So let's take a closer look at Gabriel's message so that we can understand exactly who Jesus is. Jesus is, number one, the son of Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Jesus is, first of all, the son of Mary. Now, Mary is young, really young, probably close to 15 years old. That was a typical age of marriage in those days. She is betrothed to Joseph, but not married yet. And all of a sudden, her day, well, not just her day, her entire life is interrupted by an angel. It is the angel Gabriel who brings her a message from God himself. Mary, good news, you are highly favored. You are going to have a son, and this son will be unlike any other child in all of history. Mary asks the obvious question, how can this be? I am a virgin, which is a really good question. And a question that a lot of people still ask today. I mean, people ask us as Christians, I mean, do you really believe in a virgin birth? That's impossible. How can you believe in something like that? If you're asking that right now, I want to say thanks. Thank you for asking. There's lots of reasons I believe in the virgin birth. Because it's in Scripture, because it fulfills prophecy. We can't go into all of the different reasons right now. But I want to share two important ones today. The first reason I believe in a virgin birth is this, because all babies are a miracle. All babies are a gift from God. All births are miraculous. Anyone who has ever had the privilege and honor of being a parent, we all know children are a precious and wonderful gift from God, and that every single child is a blessing from Him. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Notice what the Bible teaches about having children. Each child is a special gift from God. The Bible also goes on to say that they are uniquely and wonderfully created. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Every child is a miracle. Every child is uniquely and wonderfully created by God. And the Bible goes on to say each child is loved by God. In fact, I'm sure we all remember the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 19, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So yes, I believe that all births are miraculous births, that all babies are miracles. So I understand miracles do happen. But the second thing to understand is that Jesus is exceptional. So it follows that his birth would be exceptional, unlike any other birth in all of history. All babies are a gift from God. All births are miraculous, but Jesus is a very special gift from God, and his birth is a very special miracle. There has never been anyone like Jesus, so it is not surprising that there would never be another birth like his. His birth was predicted by the prophet Isaiah 700 years earlier. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel." But the best explanation of all is given by the angel Gabriel himself. When Mary asks, "How can this be?" Gabriel's answer is one that all of us need to be reminded of. "For nothing will be impossible with God." Luke 1:37. After hearing Gabriel's message, Mary's response is such a great example of humility and faith. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what takes place. It all takes place according to the word of God. And so in 9 months and one chapter later, Luke describes the miraculous birth of Jesus, the son of Mary. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. Number one, Jesus is the son of Mary. Number two, Jesus is the son of Joseph. Joseph, the carpenter, was chosen by God to be the earthly father of Jesus. Joseph is at first troubled by Mary's unexpected pregnancy, and as a good man, he resolves to divorce her quietly. But God knows Mary can't do this alone. God wants Joseph to be on board. So God sends an angel to Joseph in a dream, explaining why Mary is pregnant and who her child truly is. And from that point on, Joseph is all in. Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Do you see what God is doing here? He is building a team around Mary. Mary doesn't need to do this by herself. In fact, she can't do it by herself. So God gives her a team of people to support and encourage her, to surround her with love and kindness. Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah. They are going to be Mary's team. They are going to help her through this time. We all need a team like that. So let me ask you, who is your team? Who are the people you can count on when the times get tough? Because we all need a team. Joseph is going to be there for Mary and for Jesus every step of the way. And there are going to be a lot of steps. Joseph is going to lead his family, not just spiritually, but literally. At the direction of the Lord, Joseph is going to lead them to Bethlehem and then to Egypt and then back to Nazareth, all in order to keep Mary and her son safe. Matthew 2:13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt." And then when the angel of the Lord appears to him again, he urges him to go back to Nazareth. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." Joseph leads his family because he is led by the Lord. Do not underestimate Joseph or the importance of his role in God's plan. Mary was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. Joseph was chosen to be the earthly father of Jesus. Jesus is the son of Mary. He's also the son of Joseph. And number three, he's also the son of David. Joseph and Mary both trace their lineage all the way back to the greatest king in Israel's history, King David himself. In our Old Testament lesson today, 2 Samuel chapter 7, God made an important promise to King David. He promised that one of his sons would reign as king, and that his throne would last forever. And Gabriel tells Mary that this particular promise of God would be fulfilled in the son she will be having. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Luke chapter 1, verse 33. So Jesus is not only the son of Mary and Joseph, he is the son of David, and that makes him the true king of Israel. Now Herod the Great, who is the current king of Israel at that time, he is not descended from David. In fact, Herod is not even a Jew. He's an Edomite from the land of Edom. And that's why he's so paranoid about his throne. And that's why he wants to know where the Christ is to be born. And so he goes to those who know the scriptures. Obviously, he didn't know them himself. But he goes to those who know the scriptures and asks, where's the Christ to be born? They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Matthew chapter 2, 5 and 6. The prophet Micah predicted that not only would the Christ be a descendant of David, but actually be born in the city of David, the city known as Bethlehem. Which is why 9 months and one chapter after the Annunciation, we find Joseph and Mary on the road to Bethlehem, Luke 2, verses 4 and 5. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. You see, Jesus is the son of Mary. He's the son of Joseph. And he is the son of David, the true king of Israel. In fact, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his throne would be established not for a lifetime, not for a generation, not for several lifetimes. But he rules over a kingdom that will last forever and ever. Jesus is the son of Mary, the son of Joseph, the son of David, but he's even more than that. The most shocking news that Gabriel shares with Mary that day was not that she was pregnant. The most shocking news was who she was pregnant with. Here's the words of Gabriel. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. This baby, who at the moment is still unborn, is, in the words of the creed that we said earlier, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. This unborn child is the Son of God himself, the second person of the Trinity, the creator of the entire universe. And he's coming down here for a reason. He is on a mission, and that's also described in the Nicene Creed, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Jesus is here on a mission. He's not here on vacation. He's not here to sightsee. He's not here for his entertainment. He is here for one reason, and for one reason alone, our salvation, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. And that's why his name is so important. I talked before about the discussion parents get to have when they're picking out baby names. It's a fun discussion, but Joseph and Mary, they never had that discussion. They didn't need to. You see, God had already picked this name. Gabriel says, "You shall call his name Jesus." Jesus, the best, the most fitting, most divinely inspired name in all of history. The name Jesus literally means God saves. And that is exactly what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to save us from the power of sin, from the power of death, and from the power of the devil himself. And through his sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection, he would accomplish his mission perfectly and offer us salvation as the free gift of God. That's why the name Jesus is the name that is above all names. And one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. You see, he is the son of Mary. He is the son of Joseph. He is the son of David. And he is the son of God. And he is your savior. And your savior has a name. His name is Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.